This is a kind of meeting that makes you feel that you're going to spoil something by changing it all. Hallelujah. I go into the Word. But let us keep our hearts and minds in the same spirit. Hallelujah. What God is saying tonight is that there are many needs in here, and that every need in here should be supplied before we get through this door tonight. And that we should just put our needs before God. Even as the Word of God goes forth, it's going to be healing, it's going to deliverance, it's going to be blessing, it's going to be uplifting, it's going to be encouragement. Hallelujah. Shakuruma Shato Shaturuma Hashta Bahanda. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Halabahashta Bahandai. Right here beside me, there is a need. There's a great need here. Hallelujah. There's a great need here. We pray that God will supply this need according to His perfect will. Hallelujah. Before we leave. Hallelujah. There is a need here, brother. Hatakomakutasha kusha kusha mahata kandai. Hallelujah. I pray that God will supply your need perfectly, completely, before we leave here. Hallelujah. We praise God and thank God for the brethren who make this meeting possible. And through much tribulation and through much fire and labor, they have held, hallelujah, held forth your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we just pray, brother, that God will open up every way for you. Hallelujah. Open up the way for you. I believe you are setting an example of something that is to come. God is speaking a word to His people now. And many people of God can't live together. Have you ever heard that Christ can't live with Christ? Amen. But many of people, God's people, can't live together because of the sin in their lives. Nothing more. They can't forgive one another. They don't really love one another. Amen. And so, God is calling us to something new, which is out there in the near future. And I think that these brothers, they might not have seen that vision, but they can see where they are. And they have started to move in that direction. And the blessing of God be upon you. And upon your effort. Hallelujah. Hashakoma hasta. No man is going to stand in your way. Kosha mahanda la mahaya. Kosha mahanda la mahaya. God is going to open up the way. Halabahashta bahashta bahashta. Andabasha halabahashta. When one door is closed, halabahashta is going to open the other door. Hallelujah. And the only doors that are closed are the doors that He didn't want to be opened from the beginning. Hallelujah. If they were opened, you would have gone into them, and it would not have been the perfect will of God. So said the Lord God. He is breaking down the walls and the fences to let you through. Habashaya halarahashta. Glory to God, amen. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to God, amen. Yes.
Shamadalandamashaya. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the sorrow and the sighing shall flee away, said God. And remember, we are soldiers of the cross. We are not supposed to have things easy. In the time of war, hallelujah, there must be no peace with the enemy. Hallelujah. Shukumomo, shukumomo. Oh, shukumo. Have you been thinking of making peace with the enemy? Hallelujah. The Lord God said, there is no peace with the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you have the peace of God inside, it must be war. Out there. Hallelujah. The Bible said, the Word of God says, that at that time will God commission the Archangel Gabriel. Now, I don't know if you understand that there is a time when the heavenly host and the earthly host are going to come together in a common battle line. Amen. There are some things you can't do, brother. Never try to do what the Spirit should do. Never try to do what the Spirit should do. There are some things that the Spirit of God is doing in your life that you cannot do. Don't try. Just leave it to God. God, this is your part of it. I cannot manage it. I cannot do it. But the part that you are to do, make sure you do. Amen. We are partners together with the heavenly host. The host of heaven is at this moment working on behalf of the church. The Bible said they are our servants. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible said that the heavenly host are our servants? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He said they came to minister for, not to minister to. Amen. They came to minister for us. In other words, the part of the work that we cannot do, they are here to do it. And they are here in force. And I understand that they are coming. Not as though they have all come already. Not as though God has unleashed upon us the full force of His heavenly army yet, because we cannot stand it. As we grow, that army gets stronger towards us. Are you there? Amen. Amen. You see, they have not been permitted, is the right word. They have not been permitted to work very strongly with us because we were not in the place. We were not in the place to work with them. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is saying that the heavenly host is now drawing nearer, hallelujah, to us and to work it with us to do the things that we need to be done. Hallelujah. And when you are in the will of God, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to say, God, now move that mountain there for me. And make preparations as if it is moved. Hallelujah. You don't have to look at the mountain after you tell God to move it. You go right head on into it because it's gone by the time you get there. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what I'm saying. That the confidence, Shakumahanda, Shakumahanda la Mahashaba, the confidence that we need to have in God, it's something new, something greater than anything we have ever had before. You see, it is not just an ordinary friend that is working with us, but it is the power of heaven that has come to us to work for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Loose. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. We come to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The Lord God said that there's tonight in this place the spirit of encouragement. Hallelujah. He said tonight is the spirit of encouragement in this room. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And when we leave, this household will be encouraged. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the spirit of encouragement will be left here. Hallelujah. And praise be to God. Things are going according to plan. Oh, yes. God's business is running on schedule. Amen. Chapter 1. And having made known unto us, verse 9, the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself. This is one of the mysteries that, strange enough, he said, having made known unto us, Paul is saying that the mystery was made known unto him, and yet so much of the church has not known the mystery yet. Hallelujah. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, hallelujah, he will might gather together in one. Gather together in one church all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means to say, when you are moving according to the perfect will of Christ, that you have a force with you that is greater than the force that was with some in the past. Because it is in the dispensation of the fullness of time. As we get nearer and nearer and nearer to this fullness, we get more and more and more power of the heavenly host with us.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen. That I need not go into scriptures to prove to you that Jesus Christ is here with some chosen ones tonight. I don't have to go into scripture to prove to you, because you are here and you know it and you feel it. And I don't know the names, and it's not necessary, of those who are with us tonight. But they are with us. We know they are being directed by the Archangel Michael. Amen. And Michael only comes to fight for God's people in time of crisis. Amen. In time of crisis, Michael is present. Hallelujah. Direct in the battle against unseen forces that we have not known. We do not know how near we brush to destruction sometimes. Glory to God. Amen. That these forces have Satan has a warrant against you to destroy you. Satan has a warrant out for you to destroy. Glory to God. And as we sang, I've escaped like a bird out from the fall, the snare of the fowl. Little do you know how you did escape today. Little do you know the snares that were set. God doesn't have to tell you. All he does is send his angels, and they fly the snare and destroy the traps, and you just go through as innocent as a little child, just going along. And you need to have confidence in this situation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Let's turn to the Psalms and let us see something here about praising God. Praise God. Psalm 136. See what that says.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. And he made the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night. Praise be to God. We have to praise God tonight. And I tell you something about praise. The word Yada, Yada, which we translate in our language, say Judah, means praise. Hallelujah. And this is the word that brings us into a deeper understanding of the nature of God. And some stupid, non-understanding person will say, what kind of God you serve who want you to praise him all the while? What kind of a God would you serve that wants you to praise him? Oh, you're a sweet fellow. You're a wonderful fellow. You're a great fellow. You're a good fellow. And somehow you believe that is praise. Because in our way of thinking, that sounds like praise. But that's not what God talks about. When we lift our hearts to God and begin to thank him for just being God to us, thank him for just giving us an opportunity of sharing in his kingdom. Thank him for everything. Just thank him for being God. Suddenly you find a nature begin to form in you. Amen. A nature, God, it is glorious to know. God tells you to do some things in the scripture and he never just tells you why. But it is something that God wants to form in you, why he tells you to praise him. Hallelujah. Amen. If you look at the other brother and look at the other sister and see what God's doing for them. And you start praising God for what God is doing in this sister and for what God is doing in the church and for what God is doing here and what God is doing here. It begins to form a nature of strength within you, a nature of praise within you. Amen. And so, praising God is not for God's sake. It's for your sake. Amen. Do you remember the situation when the Philistines were coming down to attack Israel? And the word of God came to the prophet and said, send the praisers out and the dancers. And here comes men of war coming down. They want somebody to fight with. Amen. Amen. It's a spirit. You hear me? It's a spirit. When a man comes to you to fight you, and you get up on your haunches and start to respond to him, his spirit takes a hold of you. Glory to God. See, spirits feed on men. Spirits don't have any power of themselves unless the power they have taken away from the human race. When, in Genesis chapter 3, when God was pronouncing the curse upon the devil, the greatest blessing that he gave us was that we were going to be the food of Satan. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, you don't see that blessing. Yes. He said, on your belly shall you walk. And he said, dust shall be your meat. But when you trace the word dust, Adama, which means red earth, Ereth, which means dust or earth. And when you trace the word, you see that just in the same chapter, further down, he said, for dust thou art, O man. He said, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. So the same, he just tells Satan that he's going to feed on dust. And then he turned around and said, you are dust. And what in effect he was saying is that Satan will feed on humanity. So he went and he took away our power. Let me prove it to you very, very simple. When God made Adam, God said to Adam, have dominion. Didn't he? He said, rule over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beasts, the land, everything that passeth through the earth. You are king. Rule over that. How would you like to get the authority to rule over something without the power to do it? But he did have the power. For he did take care of 500 miles of garden. Amen. He did have all the nature in order under him. He did rule as God gave him power to rule from his mind, from his own mind. He ruled the universe. And they all obeyed him. Man, there are no lions killing deer and doing anything. Nobody hurt anybody. Nothing hurt anything in all of God's kingdom that he gave Adam. How long this condition continued, we do not know. But what we do know is that the day when Satan attacked Eve and took away the power from Adam, God said, get him out of the garden quickly, lest he stretch forth his hand and take the tree of life and have everlasting life with sin. So God did something to man, and man lost not only mentally but spiritually, and Satan took his power. Now you said, says, that's a far-fetched theory. It sounds like that, does it? Let me give you a scripture for it. You turn to Luke chapter 4. And somebody read that fourth verse for me.
And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God."
By every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. What was, read on. I want you to read where Satan offered Jesus Christ the kingdom.
And the devil saith unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me."
For that is delivered unto me.
And whosoever I will, I give it.
Yes. Now, if you look back again into Genesis, you will see that God never gave any power to Satan.
Right, amen.
That Satan took all his power from man. Amen. You saw that? You see that? Can you see that? That all the power that Satan has tonight is what he takes from us. And he feeds on us. Now, the greatest blessing lies in the fact that Satan derives his power from us. He cannot exist without us, without the power that we have given him. Now, what would happen if we took back our power from him? He would be bound and chained. And he couldn't do anything. Amen? So, then the blessing in the whole thing is that we know now that we are feeding the devil. When a man comes to fight you or to quarrel with you, if you quarrel back with him, if you fight back with him, you feed the spirit that is in him.
Amen.
And he gets stronger. And you get weaker because it takes out the virtue, which is the life of God, out of you. And they feed upon this energy. Can you understand this? All right. Now, if you will look at that carefully, then you turn your Bibles now to Revelation 12. And you see in verse 7 what is going to happen. Or what is happening now. So I bring you from Genesis, what happened then, and we're at Revelation, or what is happening tonight in 1982 to us. Praise be to God. Read for me, someone.
There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought at his angels.
Yes, go ahead. And what happened?
They prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, who was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
All right. Now look at what we're saying now. Here God has a kingdom. He's got an invisible kingdom with where the saints are, which we said some of them are here with us tonight. He has the kingdom within you. Your spirit, soul, and body is his kingdom. He's preparing it to dwell eternally within. And he has a world out there which is his kingdom, which when this kingdom is taken, will take the world away from the devil and the sinners. And everybody here believes that and understands that. Okay. Now, he's saying then that there was war in this heaven. Not in that heaven up there. In this heaven. And Satan was finally cast out of this heaven. And the next verse said, "Now is come salvation and glory and the power and the kingdom of our God and his Christ." So you understand then that Satan is feeding on the strength and the power that we have. Because Satan cannot get any more power from God. Satan can't go to God and say, "God, I need some power to go beat up those Christians down there." Amen. No, his source is cut off. And the only source he has is the power which he's drawing from us. This is the reason that we don't have the power to turn our hands and lay on this child and say, "Get up out of that wheelchair and walk." Sometimes we get it. but it works only sometimes. We should have it to work all the while. You see, but it is because our whole realm, I'm not talking about any individual, our whole realm is sucked, the power is sucked out, power drain, hallelujah, from our whole realm. And let me tell you a little bit more, which is going to the limits. That when Satan kills a man, he gets energy and life out of him. That's why there's so much killing going on, and Satan is now planning to kill so much that he'll have so much power and so much authority to do his business. Anyhow, that's a far-fetched one, and I'm not prepared to go too far with that. But I know it to be a fact. All right. Now, here are the Philistines coming up towards Israel. And the Philistines want Israel to come out fighting them. Hallelujah. God said to Israel, send out the praisers. Send out the music. And here you are, a man of war coming up, ready to fight. And here comes people dancing and singing before you. Praise be to God. Amen. That must have turned them off. But it turned off the devil that was in that. Amen. That's what it did. It shook him and turned him off. And God Almighty said that the power of God fell down on the Philistines and destroyed them right there. Amen. You coming up to battle and hear people come dancing and singing and praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, the praise, when you praise God from your heart, not only you are praising God, but the heavenly host join in with you. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. The heavenly host joins in with you. And heaven begins to lift your praise. And as your praise lifts, your heart opens. And as there's an opening, the Spirit of God floods in. Amen. You see, that's why it is good for you to get up sometimes and put your heart and mind on Jesus Christ and dance before God. Oh yes, it is good for you. Hallelujah. To lift your hearts to God. And open up the doors. Pull the barriers. And let the Holy Ghost flood in. If it's just for a moment. See? So the praise does something to you. If you will notice that in Ezekiel chapter 28. That speaks about Satan, the angel Hillel, how art thou fallen from heaven. Hillel, that word Lucifer, you can mark it out of your Bible and put Hillel. There is no such word Lucifer in the scripture. Amen. So, how art thou fallen from heaven, Hillel? And when the scripture spoke of the conditions in the first part of that chapter, it speaks of his being a great musician in heaven, and it speaks of his being one of the bright ones, the stones of fire that walk up and down in the realm near to God. That is, he was up there with Michael. Somebody want to read that so that we don't just say things.
Isaiah 14.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Chapter 12.
Chapter
12.
No. Yes. Yes. I was quoting. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28.
Okay.
And it's about verse what, 6.
13 about him being in Eden. First chapter 12.
Yes, it's two places. It's mentioned about the stones there. Read about the sixth verse, what the sixth says.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because
yes,
thou hast set thine heart as thy heart of God.
Yes.
Behold, therefore I will. Is that where you want?
Yes.
Read 7-2.
Yes. Go.
Behold,
Therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of thy nations, and they shall draw thy sword against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. And they shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God.
Yes.
And in the hand of him.
You see, God is bringing a parallel between the transgression of Satan and the transgression of Cyrus. But go on. It's further down there. What? Say it.
Verse 13.
Yes. Go ahead. Well, there is it before.
Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of the strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre.
Yeah.
And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou healest up the sum.
Yes, that's where it begins. That's where it begins. Read verse 13. Let me look at my Bible here. Read 13. Is that a King James or?
Yeah,
it's
King James.
See, verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth it, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You know, some people say that this is Adam, but this is crazy. Adam was never up in heaven walking amid the stones of fire. The stones of fire are Michael and archangels. That's what we're talking about there. Thou wast perfect in thy ways, from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. You see, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. In other words, God is talking about the situation of his making sanctuaries for Satan, places of hiding, where he did not have to fall. For Hillel, I should say. He did not have to fall, but he defiled them all. He stepped over every barrier that God set to stop him. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all beholding. What I wanted to show you was that he was the musician in heaven. Isn't this the chapter that speak of him as thy pipes that I made in thee?
Yeah, up to the 13th verse.
Oh, the 13th verse. We skipped it, eh? All right. Yes, thou had been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, sardis, topaz, etc., and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. And then he said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, meaning to say that this cherub, this angel, had power in heaven to bring forth praise within the heavenly host. You see, he was the praiser. And then in the Ecclesiastes we hear that the daughters of music will be silenced. If you notice that the musicians nowadays are getting their music from Satan. You see, most of the music that we hear called rock and whatever else, it's coming from Satan. And Satan is the one that encourages people in making music. Why? because the music has something in it that creates a spirit within the people who hear it. So it is that the Word of God says you must praise God with spiritual songs and psalms and hymns and make melody in your heart. You know why? Because while you are making melody, the Spirit of God is working upon your heart. So that praising God, it's not just, singing a good song that gives you a good feeling. It is a spiritual work. Amen. And the workmanship of God's Spirit is within you. As you praise, it creates a nature within you, a higher nature than the one that you have within you, and it lifts you up. So praise is of God, and it is not just to tell God He's pretty and He's lovely and He's good, but it is to bring forth something within you that is a power that you cannot receive, that fullness which you long for, without praise. Did you know that? That it does a special work in you that nothing else can do. Amen. That the word of praise, the work of praise from God that is coming forth in the church now, is a different praise from the past. Let me explain something to you. Let's go back a little bit. I remember in the latter rain. Let's get to the before the latter rain, Azusa Street, and they had songs like "The Day of Sect and Creed Forevermore is Past." We, all the saints upon the world so vast, we reach our hands in fellowship to every blood-bought one and to each other. Church composed the body of His Son, you know, and then you start singing, "Oh, Church of God, the day of Jubilee has dawned so fair and glorious for me." And those songs came forth with the Holy Ghost. But listen, when the latter rain came, they had different songs. Amen. And can you remember any of the latter rain songs? But they were different, and they were, it seemed that they lifted you even to a higher dimension. And today, we still have different songs, and these songs are designed, every move of God comes forth with singing. Yeah. See what I mean? So, if anybody wants to stop you to sing, just tell them they're of the devil. Oh, yes. Just tell them, anybody who wants to stop you from singing, just tell them they're of the devil. Because God brings forth a dimension of spirit upliftment with a dimension of song.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. See. So, even as the Spirit of God is moving upon us tonight, we must learn how to give way to the music of God that comes forth within us, because the praise, the yada, the Judah in you must come forth. Amen. You remember when Moses sent the spies into the land, he sent a spy from every tribe. A spy from every tribe. And there were only two spies that came back with good news. And one was the tribe of Judah. Amen. And the other was what? Benjamin? His name was Caleb and Joshua. See? Alright. Caleb was from Judah. And Joshua was from... He got to be. Come on, tell me now. Huh? No, not Benjamin. He had to be from the double-fruited tribe, didn't he? Ephraim. Now, the word Ephraim means double-fruited. That's the first fruits company. Amen? The word Joshua, Judah means praise. See? So it is with the praise and the first fruits, or it is with the praise that the first fruits will enter into this land of promise which God has ordained for us to enter into.
Hallelujah.
See? Now, we see then that if the first fruit is going in, they are going in with praise. Yes, they must enter the land with praise. Joshua must enter the land with Caleb. See, Caleb must enter the land with Joshua. So, even these little things God shows in the scripture to make us understand what we are doing, where we are, how we are moving, the time that we are in. It is a time of praise.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Believe you me, you feel bad, you are hurt, you are upset, you feel down, start praising God.
Hallelujah.
It lifts you right up. Pardon me. Because we are in the time of praise. We will never be able to enter in to some of the delicate dainties which God has ordained for us without praise. Praise God. You know, God said a little peculiar thing. He said, if whatever you desire, you ask God for it and believe that you have received it. Start thanking Him for it, although you haven't seen it. Amen. Do you know that praise is a creative force? When you ask God for that book, the book was not. It was not there. It wasn't made yet. It wasn't yet created. But you asked for it. And God bring the forces together to create it. And as God bring the forces together to create it, you keep praising. And it keeps strengthening that force, that creative force. And lo and behold, the book that you had only in your heart comes forth and is presented to you. I give you a story. We were in Los Angeles and many years ago, and I was working with the tapes, and we found out that we had a problem. We had a cassette tape, which this poor man would sometimes preach for 5 hours. So therefore, no cassette could help us. So we had a reel tape. Amen. But who wants to sit down for 5 hours and take reel tapes off and put them on cassettes? So we wanted a machine that you just put the reel on and get a cassette out the other way. Amen. And so we were talking about it, and I said, let us pray that God will get somebody to invent a machine that you put on a reel tape on one side and you get a cassette tape on the other side. Amen. And so we prayed for the machine. Hallelujah. And it went on maybe 3 months, and a brother in the congregation came to me and said he wants me to pray for him. And so when I prayed for the brother, he said he wanted me to come to his house to bless a machine, because he been inventing this machine, and every time he goes to the machine to work on it, he feels like he's going to go crazy. He has to leave it. See? And so we went to the house, and lo and behold, there was this tape machine that he was inventing, putting together, but he couldn't get it to coordinate and to work right. And we blessed the machine, pray over the brother, and he finished the machine, got the patent for it, and put it on the market. Amen. But this only, I only say this to say that you do not understand. Like children, we do not understand the magnitude of God's word. And His power. And sometimes, because we do not understand, we do not operate. Now God would like us to operate without understanding until we understand. But you read the Bible, and the Bible tells you to do certain things. You don't know why the Bible is telling you to do those things. For instance, you don't know why the Bible is telling you to praise. But deep down, God knows when you praise, certain things are going to happen. Amen. Let me explain a little further, if you'll permit me. I don't want to be mystic. Amen. I don't want to be mystic. But a lot of people would believe that when you go in a little deeper into the things of God, it's being a mystic. It isn't. It's just ordinary Christian. Amen. When a spirit looks at you, he doesn't see you as I see you. He sees you and he sees what kind of light you have, what kind of energy of God that is in you. And if there is a little darkness in you, he sees the darkness and he will zero in to that darkness, because that is an invitation to him. Amen. So when Satan took Jesus Christ up on the mountain and said, come, let me show you the kingdoms of the world. And he showed him the kingdoms of the world. He was showing him the hearts of men. And it was darkness. And so he said, don't you see that I've got them all? They are all mine. See, why don't you just throw in the towel? Or let us make a deal. You see what I mean? And Jesus said, no dice. He said, get behind me. You don't know what you're saying. Anyhow, what I'm trying to impart to you tonight is that in the speaking of spiritual people, speaking spiritually, you have a certain amount of spiritual energy, spiritual light with you, that a devil can either approach you or he can't approach you. Amen. When you begin to praise God, your light gets brighter. And the glory that comes out of you through praise will drive every devil out of this building while you praise. When we praise, at one stage in the praise, you'll find somebody comforting a word of tongues, or somebody comforting a word of prophecy, or an interpretation, and the gifts work more after you praise than before you praise. Glory to God, amen. Glory to God, amen. The reason is because you stir up the energy and the life of God in you, and you begin to glow. Pasha. When Jesus Christ went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he began to glow because the glory that was in him began to break loose through his being. Ah, glory to God, amen. And that our natural eyes could see it, and if it had continued, the brothers couldn't look at all. They would be totally blind. Amen. See. But it was only a little taste, a little vision of the glory of God that is within the human being, within you. Glory to God. And when we praise, we cannot praise with music alone. We must praise with words. Okay, all right. Let me show you something. Suppose I start to say, dang, 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 and you begin to pick up the beat and start to beat your feet and all like that. You know what happens? You're attracting devils. You're attracting devils. This is the way the Satanists do it down where I come from. See? They'll say, and they begin to beat the boom, and boom, boom. And you notice your Bible well that there's no place in the Bible where you see the word drum. No drum. The sackbut, the dulcimer, the harp, the stringed instruments, the wind instruments, the this, the that, that, and there's no drum in God's music. The reason is that a drum is what we call an emotional instrument. That when it strikes, it vibrates certain organs in your body and it causes you to be emotional. And if you get too emotional, the emotion will block out the mind, which is to bring in the understanding of Christ into the soul. It will block out the will to praise God. And it will bring in a will to have a flesh enjoyment. So we see then that praise must be with words. Amen. Glory to God. Have you ever been praising God and thinking on the words of the song? Just thinking, and when you start to think of the words of the song, you get in the spirit. That's what happens. If you are just looking at the rhythm and the beat of the guitar and whatever else, you will lose out in praise. Because God said praise is comely. Why do you think he says praise is comely? Praise is comely. Praise is something that only the wise people can do. Fools can't praise. Hallelujah. Never participate in a praise that you don't know the words. You must know the words that they are saying. And you must put words to it. And then you praise God. See, so we go back upon the thought of the glory in John chapter 17 and in verse 5, Jesus Christ said, Father, give me the glory that I had with you from before man was made. Amen. All right. He kept on praying, and then he came down to verse 22, and he said, Father, the glory which thou hast given me, I am giving it to them. Hey, glory to God. And he said, this glory is going to make them one. Do you hear me? This glory that I'm giving them is going to make them one, even as you and I are one, God. Amen. God is saying that glory touch glory. What I mean, brother, is that when the Spirit of God is in me, the glow of God comes out of me and it touches you and your glow touch me. Glory to God. Amen. And it brings forth a word of praise that is greater than they had in the latter rain and greater than they had in any other time since God made man. Hallelujah. For God said the flood of water shall flow out of your innermost being. And it's going to flow out there into the desert. And it's going to compel men. Oh yes. Remember, the last thing that God is going to do in the world here. Hallelujah. Before the final thing comes forth, is that the power of God will be so great that it no longer will ask men to be saved, to accept Jesus. It will compel them. He said, go out on the byways and the edges. And he said, compel them to come. It will be compulsion, bringing them by the force of God no more time to fool around. I look deep down in you and see that you belong to God. Come now. Amen. Praise be to God. So it's the compelling force of God. It's going to come forth from you. Hallelujah. Into the world and compel men to fall on their knees. Hallelujah. I am saying, brethren, that we should not take the things of God lightly. When God speaks a word, we should take it very seriously. He said, praise God with the dance. He said, praise God with the singing. He said, praise God with the sackbut, the dulcimer, the harp, the music. Praise God. And God has a meaning. He has a reason, I should say, for all this. If we don't find ourselves entering into the praise of God, as God said, then we must know that something is wrong. We are not yet submitting to that spirit. Amen. Because the angels in heaven praise God. And when they begin to praise God, the power comes down on them. Greater power, greater glory come to them. And the Bible said that there was a praise in heaven that the doorpost moved out of its way, out of its place. Amen. And it has a meaning. Yes, it has a meaning. The pillars of the church are not natural wood pillars like we have in a house. God is talking about men, glory, powerful angels of God moving out of their place because of the praise, hallelujah, that comes up from man. Hallelujah. In the tabernacle, we come to the mercy seat. And it is the place where the offering is offered before God, the offering of man's soul. When God accepts that offering, the Bible said the priest cannot stand. You remember that? The priest cannot stand up to minister. The priest begin to dance before God because the Spirit of God just lift him from the earth and cause him to dance before God because his offering was accepted of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Tonight, we must know. We must come into it, the understanding. That praise is comely. That praise is not having fun. Some people believe praise is having fun. They come to church to have fun, and as they hear the music, they're having fun. Praise be to God. The more you hear the music, the more you hear the song, begin to think on the words. That's if you play the wrong song, you cut the praise. Did you ever know that? Let me tell you something. I tell you a secret. Every time we come together, the Holy Ghost has a job to do in the people here. Therefore, he wants certain songs to be played so that it will open up the people for him to work in them. And you sometimes have a song leader that is always playing the wrong songs because he's not submitting to the Spirit. You have another song leader, but that's always playing the right songs because he's more submissive to the Spirit. And it's as simple as that. You see. And when we had a way in our little group there down in Jamaica years ago, when we come in, we would ask, what way the wind is blowing? How is the wind blowing? And sometimes you feel around in the dark, to be honest. You play the songs of the blood and nothing happened. You play songs of praise and so on, and you play until you hear the Spirit moving and you keep in that vein. Amen. So that the spirits that are here from God, they are here to help us worship, to strengthen our worship and to help us worship. And when we get off the line, they are hurt. If you notice that you can be playing a song and something comes in and cuts through it and stops it entirely. I never forget going to a church one night, and the minister was speaking, and I could feel the power of God coming from this man, because he was online, and the people were being pressured under the power, and sinners had begun to march up to the altar to give themselves to God, even while he was yet speaking. And a woman picked up her right foot and she slammed it on the floor. Bam, 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 bam. And as she did that, the man jumped on the oven like a big rat ran over the oven. It's like, and the guitar got down and they started to dance. And they danced for 1 hour. And when they had finished, the man went back again, the minister, and he picked up again. And he began again. And again you could feel the drawing and the power of God. It was a solemn moment. And the woman slammed her feet down again like that. Amen. Now, that woman is a devil's agent in the church. And she's there to disrupt. And they believe she's powerful in the Lord. They say they are like children. Don't understand God. Don't understand God. And so, you know, some of the stories I tell, I don't know why I tell them. It's just that they flash to me out of the past and to bring some relevancy to the present. But that there are disturbing influences in our midst that don't want us to praise. Glory to God. There are disturbing influences in our homes sometimes. Don't want us to praise. And we need to get on top of these things because we don't have any time to fool around. That the praise of God must work within the church of God to bring glory to God. And when it brings glory to God, it delivers us and brings out the blessings that God would want to come out through us. Many blockages, many things stopping, dark spots in you. Devil see the dark spots. See, I have seen in some congregations that they have a praise without words. You ever seen that? A praise without words. All music, boom, 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 and it's designed to sound like an army marching, and then the people begin to stand their feet down. I'm telling you, it's not of God. No praise without words is of God. If you're praising God, praise him with some words. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your help. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. You must have something in your heart if there's no words going on. If there is a song and there are words to the song, it is the words that the Holy Ghost wanted to get drumming down in your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise him in the highest. Praise him. Praise him. Cry yada. Cry yada. And praise God. Because praise is comely. I want to stop here. Because somebody might want to ask a few questions. I discuss some point. As the Lord might lead you. Amen. Praise God. But let me just round it up with going back on something that's still flashing there. But the spirits of God cannot stand the praise of God. The spirits of the devil cannot stand the praise of God. That when you praise God, it drives Satan away. He cannot stand it. Amen. mainly because when you praise God, your power grows. Amen. And he can't take it too much light for him. Amen. When you are discouraged, it means that some devil has taken out your life, sucked out some energy out of you. Try to get enough rest. Don't be always tired. Because when you're tired, you lack energy, is an invitation to the devil. You get discouraged when you're tired. Amen. Men, help your wives. Don't let them work too hard. Encourage them. Sometimes tell them, go to bed, you wash the dishes. And use natural things to encourage spiritual strength. Because they need to have that energy to resist the attacks that come against women especially. I believe more attacks come against women than men. Honestly, I believe women are a target for the devil. I believe we should encourage them and strengthen them and help them. Praise be to God. I believe that having the praise of God in your house is something good. You should have some of these tapes with praise. Just let it loose while you do your business. Just let it run. Amen. Hallelujah. It helps the children. It delivers them. It strengthens them. Praise is comely. Hallelujah. God bless you.